Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church, growing in faith and friendship.
Well, the account of Jesus healing the blind beggar and the account of Jesus showing compassion to the tax collector, which we read about in Luke chapter 18 and verse 35 all the way through to chapter 19 and verse 10, really should be read as a single unit. Both these accounts happened around Jericho. So the account of Bartimaeus, the first one, Jesus is approaching Jericho. And in the second account of Zacchaeus, Jesus just enters into Jericho. And both the blind man Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, are both marginalized. They are excluded from polite society. They're outcasts. However, there's a big difference between Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. Bartimaeus is oppressed. He's a poor, blind beggar. Whereas Zacchaeus is the oppressor. He's a corrupt, rich tax collector. He's exploiting the poor. He's working for the Romans. But what we discover over here is that Jesus shows compassion to both the oppressed and the oppressor. And so these accounts should be read together within Luke's gospel, but unfortunately some bright spark in the Middle Ages decided to put a chapter break between the two accounts. And so today we're going to be looking at the first account where Jesus heals the blind man Bartimaeus. And then next week we're going to be looking at how Jesus shows compassion, extends love to Zacchaeus. But when we do so, we're going to bear in mind and remember that these two accounts need to be read together as a whole. And so we read in verse 35, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho. So Jesus and his disciples are traveling from up north in Galilee all the way down south to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, that great Jewish festival. And then we're told that there was a blind man sitting by the roadside, begging. We're told in Mark's gospel that the blind guy is called Bartimaeus. Now, I can't imagine what it must be like to be blind. I mean, imagine that for a moment. Maybe shut your eyes and, well, my eyes are shut, so I'm hoping yours are. And just imagine waking up and this is all you see. Darkness. I would be completely disorientated. My whole life would be changed. Okay, open your eyes. I mean, that would be terrifying, right? But it was even worse back in those days because there was no welfare support. Bartimaeus is unemployed, destitute and poor. He's unable to support himself except by begging. He's probably got long, scruffy hair, an unkempt beard, threadbare clothes. He's dirty, probably smells. And he's in a hopeless situation. And to make matters even worse, is that because he's blind, he's excluded from going to the temple. He's not allowed to go to the temple. He can't take part in the Passover celebrations. And so he's destitute. He's in a hopeless situation. He probably thinks this situation will never change. He'll be in it for the rest of his life. And he's probably been placed there by the side of the road by a friend or a relative because this is a strategic spot for a beggar. You've got a whole lot of religious guys walking past on their way to temple to celebrate the Passover. You couldn't expect a better place and a better time to be asking them for some money. And so we read in verse 36, when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. Within a Middle Eastern culture, the way a village would honor and show respect to a very important guest is that they would actually walk out some distance out of the village to welcome them and greet them and honor them and then escort them back in to the town. And the way you could judge how important or how popular this particular guest was would be by the size of the crowd and how far they walk out. It's kind of like when you have this massive crowd at the airport because your sports team is about to return because they've just won. You know how everyone crowds into the airport to welcome them and to honor them? And you can kind of tell how popular the person is or the sports team is by the size of the crowd. And so Bartimaeus senses that there's a really big crowd over here, and so he's inquiring, who's the celeb? Who's coming? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. As soon as he hears that, we read in verse 38, he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He calls out to Jesus for mercy, for compassion. That's not surprising. He's a beggar. That's what beggars do. What's surprising is the title he uses for Jesus. He calls Jesus the Son of David. Everyone else in the crowd just refers to Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth. But he says, Jesus, Son of David. Now, isn't Jesus the son of Joseph and Mary? So why does he call him the Son of David? Well, of course, David was, in fact, Jesus' great-great-great-great-grandfather. But more than that, David was the greatest king in Israel. And so they believed, there were prophecies that said a descendant of David, a son of David, would come into the world and put the world to right, would fix this broken world. And this person would be called the Son of David. They would be the Savior of the world. They would be the Messiah. Now, I think we all know that the world has problems, right? I mean, there are lots of problems in the world. And the root of the problem, according to Jesus, is our sinful hearts. Humanity's sinful hearts. Our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our greed, the evil in our heart is the root of the problem. And so Jesus has come to set us free, to rescue us from our own sinful hearts and our own brokenness so that we can experience forgiveness and wholeness and ultimately eternal life. So we can be ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. And amazingly, this blind beggar perceives this. He perceives that Jesus is the Son of David. No one else perceived that. I mean, even some of Jesus' own disciples struggled to perceive who Jesus really was. They said to Jesus, if you go into Jerusalem and say, you're the Son of David, they will kill you. You see, the Romans are ruling. And if anyone comes in and says, I'm a son of David, I'm a descendant, I'm a king like David, they're going to kill you because that's what they do to want to be kings. And Jesus is kind of like saying, well, you know, that's kind of why I've come. You know, I've come to die for you. But they didn't perceive that. Yet this blind beggar calls out, Son of David. And we read then in verse 39, those who led the way, okay, that's the crowd who has gone out to welcome Jesus and honor Jesus, and now they're escorting Jesus back into town. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. In fact, the Greek uses a lot stronger word there. So it's more like, shut up. And they probably said things like, you know, please be quiet, shut up. I mean, just give us a break. Can't you see Jesus is busy? Stop being such a nuisance. You beggars just never know when to stop. Enough is enough. And the crowd continues to marginalize this blind guy. How does he respond? He just shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Shut up. Just keeps on shouting. Verse 40, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. What made Jesus stop? Was it because the guy was calling out for help? Was it because he used the title Son of David? I mean, no one else really grasped who Jesus really was. Or was it because he noticed everyone else excluding and marginalizing this blind guy? Whatever it was, Jesus says, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. Don't you just love that? He doesn't go to the blind guy. No. No, he orders the blind guy to be brought to him. Who's he ordering? The crowd. The very crowd that is marginalizing this blind guy. The very crowd that is telling this blind guy to shut up. The very crowd who's come out to welcome Jesus and honor Jesus and escort Jesus into the town. He says, you, go welcome him, honor him, and escort him to me. Isn't that great? He gets the very guys who are trying to marginalize him to go and welcome him, honor him, and bring him into the presence of Jesus. Verse 40, and when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Okay, if I was the blind guy, I'd be like, "Yeah, what? What do I want?" I'd be squinting behind my dark glasses and using my white cane to help punctuate. "What do you think I want? I'm blind." It was pretty obvious to everyone that this guy was blind. I mean, it wasn't like Jesus was like, "Oh, so that's why you're stumbling all over the place. That's why you can't get a job and obey. You're blind. Why didn't you say so?" Jesus obviously knows this guy is blind. So he's not asking this question in order to get information. So why is he asking this question? He wants this guy to make a stand. You know, perhaps the blind guy just wants some money. He's quite comfortable being a blind beggar. He's got his strategic spot. The rich guys come by. They see him. They feel obliged to give him some money. If he was healed, nobody would get him money. He would have to get a job. He would have to learn new skills. There would be new responsibilities, new challenges. So maybe all this Son of David language is just a form of emotional blackmail. I mean, you know how these religious rabbis just love to be flattered with over-the-top titles. You just call them Son of David, you're guaranteed a couple of quid. Is that what's going on? So Jesus wants to see if his faith is genuine. Jesus wants him to make a stand, to declare his need, "I'm blind." Declare his faith that "I believe you can heal. I believe you have compassion even on marginalized people like me." And for him to just state his desire that he really wants this. He really wants to change his life and live for Jesus. Yeah, sometimes it's a lot easier just to stay in the situation we're in because we don't know anything different. It takes a lot of courage to turn your back on your old way of living and to enter into a whole new way of living. So Jesus is saying, "Do you really want this?" And Bartimaeus takes the risk, full of courage, and says in verse 41, "Lord, I want to see." And when he says that, he's declaring, I have a need, I am blind, and I believe, I have a belief that you can heal me, you have compassion on me, and I really want this. I really want this new life of freedom and wholeness and forgiveness that you're offering. I want to see. Verse 42, and Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. It's his faith that is key to his healing. Now, it's not that his faith heals him in some sort of new agey way that you just see yourself as healed and you'll be healed. Of course not. But faith somehow makes it possible. Of course, it's Jesus who heals him. But it's through his faith that Jesus is able to heal him. And then we read in verse 43, immediately received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. Imagine that. The first time you ever see, and the first thing you see is the face of Jesus. And the picture of this of Bartimaeus following Jesus down the road is a picture of someone who has been fully restored. He's no longer sitting at the side of the street begging. He's no longer excluded from going to temple. No, he's on the road with Jesus going to Jerusalem. But even more than that, the term followed is a technical term for a follower of Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus. He is part of the community of faith, part of the community of followers of Jesus, the true people of God. And then the last line. Actually, before I get there, I can just imagine that wherever he went, he would be telling people his story. I was blind, and then I met Jesus, and now I see. I was physically blind, but now I see. I was spiritually blind, but now I see. Because his healing is a sign of the spiritual healing that we all need. And then the last line in verse 43, it says, when all the people saw it, they also praised God. The crowd's response is significant. This is the very crowd that was marginalizing him, that was excluding him. Now this very crowd is praising God with him, with the very person they marginalize. They're praising God together. And what we discover over here is that the crowd has also been healed. The crowd has been healed of their prejudices and their blindness. They were blinded to the marginalized. They were blinded to the people they marginalized, whom God loved. They were blinded to the fact that God loved them and wanted to reach them. And sometimes we are like that crowd. We also have our prejudices. And we marginalize people. Sometimes we marginalize that the very people that Jesus loves and wants to reach. I mean, who was this crowd? They were following Jesus. And while they were following Jesus, they were excluding people, marginalizing people whom Jesus loved. Who do you marginalize? Is it the poor? People of a different social class? A different nationality, a different religion, a different sexual orientation. Because these are the very people that God loves and God wants to reach out to, and God wants us to go to and welcome and honor and invite and escort into his presence. In some ways, we as a church in the past have been like this crowd. In the past, and a number of years back, we had prejudices. We were prejudiced against children. We didn't like the noise and the distractions. I can remember getting very distracted with Naomi crying during the sermon, and it was difficult. And we didn't like the change in worship style. We didn't like all the new all-age worship songs. We liked our quiet, nice service. We had prejudices. But what is so encouraging is to see everyone praising God together. Isn't that so encouraging? And there's been so much growth and so much healing within the church, and it's so encouraging and so exciting. That's why it's so encouraging and so exciting to be a part of it and to be a part of what God is doing in our church. In other ways, we're like blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind and broken. We all have brokenness in our life. No one's perfect. No one's sorted. We all need help. We all need Jesus. But sometimes we're blinded like Bartimaeus. We are blinded to the fact that there is brokenness in our life. And we say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm sorted. I'm fine. I don't have prejudices. I don't need help. I don't need Jesus. We're blinded to our brokenness. Or we are aware of our brokenness, but we are blinded to the answer. We're aware that there is emptiness in our life, but we try to fill that emptiness with everything. We try to fill it with relationships, with drink, with drugs, with consumerism, with anything else but Jesus. We're blinded to the fact that we need a Savior. We need Jesus. So what is the solution? Well, the solution is we need faith. We need real faith like Bartimaeus. What is real faith? Well, real faith is firstly recognizing our need. Recognizing there is brokenness in our life. We have prejudices. We make mistakes. And then secondly, recognizing our Savior. We need a Savior. We need Jesus. And then thirdly, it's taking the risk. Stepping out in faith and putting our trust in Jesus. Take note that Bartimaeus had faith before he could see. It wasn't like Bartimaeus was healed and then he said, wow, now I believe. Faith precedes sight. We have faith before we start to see. We won't have all the answers. We won't have all the details. We won't know God's plan for our life in every detail. But we choose to put our faith and our trust in Jesus. We choose to turn away from our old way of living, our old habits, our old prejudices, and we choose to follow Jesus' way of living. And as we do that, we slowly start to see a little more clearly until we see the face of Jesus. I pray and hope that your story is like Bartimaeus' story. I was blind, and then I met Jesus. I didn't have all the answers. I didn't know what was in store. But I chose to turn away from my old way of life. I chose to put my faith in Jesus, to trust Him. And now I can see more clearly. Because all of us are blind. We are blind to our prejudices. We are blind to our brokenness. And we're blind to our Savior. And today Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? Will you have the courage, like Bartimaeus, to say, Lord, I want to see? Let's pray. And as we pray, just reflect again. Very simple question. What is God saying to you? Ask God by His Holy Spirit to speak to you and to say, and just ask Him, what are you saying to me through this passage? And then the second very simple question, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So just in the quietness of your heart now, just allow God to speak to you. And when you know that that is what God is saying to you, that is what I need to do. It commit that to God. Say to Him, I believe this is what you're saying to me, and I believe this is what I need to do. And maybe afterwards you want to share that with the person sitting next to you or a friend of yours or over coffee. Share that what God is saying to you and ask them to pray for you and offer to pray for them for whatever God has said to them. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have compassion on all people and that You desire to heal us and to give us sight to see. And Father, sometimes we become quite complacent in our blindness. We feel comfortable in our blindness. Father, give us the courage to say, like Bartimaeus, I want to see. Help us to see those that we marginalize, that we exclude. Show us new ways to extend Your love to them and to move forward with You along that road, not to stay seated at the side of the road begging. Give us faith, real faith, we pray. Help us, Lord. We need Your help. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about Abergavenny Baptist Church, please visit our website at abergavennybaptist.co.uk.